We're very happy to see your smiling faces, illuminated by the chanting of the holy names and dancing in ecstasy. Today we had the opportunity to participate in the inauguration, or you could say the, they call that the establishing the stone, or what are they? Something, some Vedic, I don't know, but yes, beginning of the new building at Bhaktivedanta Manor. These days, nothing much surprises me anymore. We've lived a long life, and we've been here, there, and everywhere, and experienced the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I must say, I was kind of overwhelmed today when your Prime Minister walked into the tent, David Cameron, to give the main address at that function. I was, what? For me, it's something like President Obama visiting, you know, our Hare Krishna Center. And when Mr. Cameron took the stage, he was very relaxed. And he spoke very highly of ISKCON, spoke very highly of Srila Prabhupada, and encouraged the devotees in their efforts to spread Krishna consciousness in this country. He began his address by standing and folding his hands. He said, Hare Krishna. I looked at a device, said, did you hear what I heard? Then he said, Namaste, and then he said, Kemcho, which is like a little Gujarati, some Hindi, and some transcendental sound vibration, the Lord's holy name. So I was thinking, my Lord, how things have changed here in this country. I first came here in 1970, and I was on my way to France, came with Srila Prabhupada. He was visiting the yatra here. And I met, later on, when I came back a few times, I met one very nice devotee, Tribhuvanath Prabhu. And we struck up a close friendship. We both liked to do Harinam. He played a wild mridanga, and I played a wild mridanga. We never learned from anybody. We just made up the beats. And he would invite me to come back to London from time to time to join the Sankirtan party. So I remember going on Harinam with him, and we would often go to the very posh parts of London, and inevitably we would be chased by the police. I don't think these things happen anymore here, do they? In those days, we had guards on one end of the block, and the other end of the block, we had spies, and we would have our kirtan, so forth, and then devotees would come running, the cops are coming! So we'd run, and they'd sometimes chase us. And we'd come back and chant again, and they'd chase us. And I remember one time they caught us. I think they arrested the spies first, and they snuck up on us. And they put us in the wagon, paddy wagon. They took us to the local station. And unfortunately, I didn't have my passport with me. So for that offense, they said we had to all stay in the police station all night until they worked things out. So it was about 6 o'clock in the evening, and I turned to Bhuvanath, that we're going to spend the night here in the jail? He said, no. He said, watch. So he took the mridanga. He said, let's have kirtan. I said, this is the police station. He said, we'll make it like Vaikuntha. He started a kirtan. The kirtan lasted about 2 hours. And finally, the chief of police came and he said, all right, get out of here. Enough, enough. So, how times have changed. You know, now the prime minister of your country takes it as a great honor to come to our temple and address the devotees, and glorify Srila Prabhupada. He mentioned that this was ISKCON's 50th anniversary when Srila Prabhupada came to the West. He knew all these things. He spoke very nicely. So I was there thinking, how things have changed. It reminded me a little bit of the how Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement evolved from its humble beginnings in Navadvip in Bengal, India, 500 years ago. During the time of Mahaprabhu, most devotees don't really, they don't really catch it, but actually India was being ruled by Muslims during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they ruled very strongly with an iron fist. And generally there was tolerance, generally. The Hindus and the Muslims lived side by side because it was a period of hundreds of years. But there were times when there were tyrants who would take advantage and cause disturbance to the devotees. So there was one instance during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he had to deal very strongly with the Chan Kazi. He was the Muslim ruler in Bengal, who, as you know, at one point made a public decree banning all chanting of Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. The whole history is actually very interesting. That Mahaprabhu, of course we know, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Shanga Panga Shriparshadam Yagnai Sankirtan Prayar Ishanti Hi Shumedashaha. He's the Yuga Avatar, he's the incarnation of Krishna in this age, who was meant to deliver the process of chanting Hare Krishna. But rather than appearing as God himself, he appeared as a devotee of God to introduce his own sweet holy names. And Mahaprabhu, because of this, the fact that the Muslim rulers were ruling, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began in a very discreet way. He initiated the Sankirtan movement by having private kirtans in the house of his devotee, Srivas Thakur, in the evenings. They were RSVP. Do you use the same here? RSVP, only by invitation, like today. You could only come to the program. I was thinking, you know, they're going to open this new building, you know, inaugurate the idea of this building, and there'll be thousands of devotees. There were 250 people. I said, what's going on here? And I got to the door. They said, Maharaj, where's your invitation? They'd actually sent me one, but I forgot it. But I got in. I said, I know Shivaram Maharaj, Radhanath Swami, and Bhakti Churu Maharaj, so I got in. But Mahaprabhu began his kirtans, RSVP, and the qualification for coming to those nocturnal kirtans is you had to be pure devotee of the Lord. Mahaprabhu wanted to actually relish this chanting with his most intimate devotees and not have anything come, any inebrities come to that chanting. One time Prabhupada said, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the chanting of Hare Krishna is always beneficial, but if you hear it from the lips of a pure devotee, it has a very special effect. This is why I'm always encouraging. In our society, we have many wonderful kirtaniers and there's many CDs and different bhajans, but it should never be at the expense of hearing from His Divine Grace, hearing the bhajans that Srila Prabhupada recorded, because those bhajans have the extra added potency. They come from the heart of a pure devotee of the Lord. So Mahaprabhu, he wanted to relish his own sweet holy names. This was the process in this age. And as he enjoyed chanting, eventually we will also enjoy chanting on the same level when our hearts are pure. So he would have the devotees come to the house of Srivas Thakur, and they would have nocturnal kirtans actually late into the night. Unfortunately, non-devotee, atheistic, materialistic people, just out of envy, they would gather outside the house of Srivas Thakur by the thousands and demonstrate against the chanting and criticize the devotees. Even not during the time of sometimes we feel a little pressure when there's opposition to our movement. There was opposition from the very beginning. Who were they opposing? Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. One time Prabhupada told us in Paris, if there's no opposition, that means there's no preaching. He said that, I went, wow. So whenever there's opposition, I think, wow, we're doing some good preaching. So these people, envious people, they would gather outside the house, and while the devotees were having kirtan, they were yelling insults. And then those envious people, they would go home, and they would spread terrible rumors about Lord Chaitanya and his associates. There are envious people like that, malicious, who spread rumors. There's a saying, give the dog a bad name and hang him. And Goebbels, who was the propaganda minister for Adolf Hitler, he said one time, you tell a lie long enough, people will start believing it. So these people started spreading very malicious rumors about the devotees, about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. And some people believed, but this type of behavior caused great pain for the pious people of Navadvip. And there were many pious people. Because the holy Dham naturally attracts pious people or attracts transcendentalists. Because they're the place of Krishna's pastimes. And they're full of spiritual potency. Just like those in the mode of ignorance, they're attracted to bars and discos and places like that. Those in the mode of passion are attracted to cricket, rugby, soccer. Those in the mode of goodness are attracted to Beethoven, Tchaikovsky concerts. But those who are transcendentalists, sudhasattva, beyond the modes of nature, they're attracted to Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And they're naturally attracted to the places where the Lord has performed his leelas because those places are surcharged with Krishna consciousness. So from time immemorial, there have been devotees in Vrindavan, there's been devotees in Navadvip. Even before the appearance of the Lord, anticipating the appearance of the Lord, Jagannath Puri, like this. So to the pious people, when they heard these rumors, although they were not invited to participate in the nocturnal kirtans, they were aware of their transcendental nature and how that chanting was benefiting the whole world. Although that chanting was in a localized place, by the will of the Lord, that chanting was benefiting the whole world. The ether, through the medium of the ether, the vibration, the purity, the blessings were going all over the world. So one day, a group of pious citizens came to Lord Chaitanya's house and they brought with them various gifts like fruits and flowers and grains, and they offered them in great affection to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was very touched by their humble offerings. And he heard their complaints that the impious or the sinful were complaining while the pious people wanted the chanting to continue. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that the pious persons are encouraged by hearing your holy name, but the demons, they're afraid and they flee here and there. So seeing this concern of the pious citizens of Navadvip, Mahaprabhu stood up and offered them a benediction. And that benediction was later summarized in a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Anjana Tahal. The title of that song is The Lord's Order to Process Around the Town and Chant. So Mahaprabhu said, Prabhura Agnai Bhai Magi E Bhiksha Bolo Krishna Bhaja Krishna Koro Krishna Shiksha. He said, he stood up. O men of faith, he said, O men of faith, I beg this one request from all of you. Chant Hare Krishna, worship Krishna, and follow Krishna's instructions. And then he chanted very loudly for their benefit. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. He said, from this point on, all of you also chant this Maha Mantra. So the Acharyas say, this is the way that Lord Chaitanya actually introduced the Sankirtan movement. At that moment that the pious citizens of Navadvip came to offer him some gifts and reveal their hearts, they were pained by these bad rumors, and they wanted that the whole world could hear the chanting and be benefited. So Mahaprabhu stood up and gave his blessings in that way. And then Mahaprabhu picked up a piece of straw off the ground and he put it between his teeth. And that's a tradition in India. It's a sign of humility that you feel yourself very low and humble before others. You take a piece of straw because there's nothing lower on the ground than the straw that falls from the hay or the plants or the whatever. So as a sign of humility, Mahaprabhu actually, I've seen sadhus do this in India. In Vrindavan, I've seen it. When they're approaching their spiritual teacher, they take a piece of straw and put it between their teeth and bow down. So Mahaprabhu, he picked up a straw and put in between his teeth and approached each and every one of these citizens who had come, and one by one he embraced them. Then he ordered flower garlands, and he personally put flower garlands around all these pious people who had come from Navadvip to see him. Then he put sandalwood on their foreheads. In this way, the acharyas say he totally conquered their hearts. Then he ordered them again, because generally when you give an instruction in Vedic culture, you give it three times. He ordered them again. Krishnara Shamshara Koro Chari Anachar Jeev Doi Krishna Sarva Dharma Sar. My dear citizens of Navadvip, give up all improper behavior, because you can't preach if you engaged in improper behavior. You can't be a transcendental via medium if you yourself are not pure. So he said, give up any improper behavior that may be there. Carry on your worldly duties in relationship to Krishna. Show compassion to fallen souls by loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna everywhere you go. He said, this chanting is the essence of dharma or religion. The people were receiving this instruction directly from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were very enlivened. Just like we sometimes have the experience of getting an instruction from our spiritual master, isn't it? We feel ourselves very fortunate if Guru Maharaj personally requests something, gives us an instruction. I always, when I was a young devotee, I remember hearing how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave Prabhupada several personal instructions. You look like a nice, educated man. Why don't you take the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the English-speaking world? If you ever get money, print books. Like a few simple instructions. Prabhupada said he met his Guru Maharaj only four or five times. But he took those instructions to heart. He took those to heart. And that became his life and soul. And I was always thinking, oh, I wish that I could have a personal instruction from Prabhupada when I was young, devotee. And sure enough, when I came here to London, that's why I like to come back, all these memories flood back. Perhaps seeing my anxiousness in going to a foreign country like France, not speaking a word of French, never managed anything, just a teenager, basically. Prabhupada called me into his room and he reached into his drawer and gave me his dhoti. And he said, a gift from a Vaishnava is a very special thing. So Indradyumna, you preach boldly and always have faith in the holy names. And I thought, I've got it. I got the instruction. And I couldn't forget it because it's etched forever in my heart. So when the populace got the instruction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, despite the opposition, despite the risk that they knew was involved, there was kirtan everywhere. People picked up drums and kols and mridangas and bugles, and there was kirtan everywhere, in everyone's home, in the shops, in the streets, in the marketplaces, in the temples. It was later noted by Sarvamohan Bhattacharya. He said, Yuvanto Vaishnava Loke Parita Nasya Hetave Ratante Prabha Nishtadha desha desha, grihe grihe. All the Vaishnavas in the world and the order of the Lord proclaimed his names from home to home, from country to country, just to deliver the fallen souls. I thought it was very interesting that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was also a very intimate associate of the Lord in Jagannath Puri, he didn't just say that on the order of the Lord the Vaishnavas took that chanting, the holy names of the Lord, just from home to home. He said country to country. Isn't that amazing? Country to country, he said, to deliver the fallen souls. So the Acharyas described that as a result, now the town of Navadvip became intoxicated with love of God. Just like when many men drink a lot of liquor, there's this huge commotion, a brawl, rowdiness, and loud and improper. But when the Vaishnavas became intoxicated with love of God, what did they do? They chanted and danced in great ecstasy. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. So now the envious, materialistic, atheistic, even the smarter Brahmins, it was their turn to go to complain to their authority. The authority of the devotees is the Lord, and at that time the authorities of all these rascal people, it was the local Muslim ruler called Chankazi. He served under a greater king who was named Nawab Hussein Shah, but that's another story. But Chankazi was considered within the Islamic faith to actually be a very saintly person. We often portray him in the Sunday feast plays. Do you still do Sunday feast plays? As a kind of comical character or whatever. But actually, Chankazi, within his domain, within his religion, he was a very learned scholar and he was a very saintly person in many ways. He only misunderstood the intention of the devotees, but later he changed. In fact, he was so considered such a great devout follower of Allah that although Nawab Hussein Shah was like the king of kings, he considered Chankazi his guru. And whenever Nawab Hussein Shah wanted to clarify something about the Quran or hear the glories of the Quran, he'd go to the Chankazi, and Chankazi was his guru. He would explain the Quran. Just some inside information there. Unfortunately, the pastime unfolded that due to some misunderstanding, false information and propaganda, at that point that the Chankazi actually hated the Hindus. And seeing that the Hindus were chanting and dancing everywhere, that's when he issued his decree to ban the chanting. And it was posted all over town, very clearly. So he wanted to see, you know, sometimes kings, they leave their posts and they leave their palace and they go out sometimes to see how the kingdom's going. We hear that. So one day, Chankazi, he left his palace, which was just on the frontier, the border of Navadvip. And he started walking around the streets of Navadvip with his soldiers, and suddenly he came across one of these kirtan parties. There was maybe, I think, 500 or 600 devotees, 20 or 30 mrdangas, 100 pairs of kartals. Devotees were twirling and dancing and laughing and crying, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare. He became furious. And he said, how is this happening in my kingdom? How dare these rascals disobey my ordinance? And with great anger, he stopped the kirtan and he took a big piece of wood and he personally broke all of those mrdangas and had his soldiers confiscate all the kartals and all the bugles and melt them down for metal to be used for some other purpose. And then he went to the house of Srivas Thakur, because by that time it was famous as the place where the Sankirtan movement was inaugurated. And he found whatever mrdangas Srivas Thakur had in storage, and he broke all of those personally himself, the Chankazi. Then he returned to his palace and he made a new decree. He had his soldiers search out all Vaishnavas. They were Hindus. They were people practicing Gyan, Yoga, so forth. But anyone who had the Kantimala, the symbol of Vishnu or Krishna on the forehead, the Sika, or the ladies and the saris, and to publicly arrest them and beat them in public. So for some time, it's described that there were thousands of soldiers 24/7 roaming the streets of Navadvip just to assure that no one dared chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare. So when devotees are in difficulty, what do? They take shelter of Krishna. So again, all the pious people of Navadvip, many of them, they again went to see Lord Chaitanya and they told him of all these atrocities that were happening. And the mayor said to Mahaprabhu that in order to do this Harinam Sankirtan, perhaps we should shift to another town. Because Navadvip was no longer safe. But Mahaprabhu would have nothing to do with it because Navadvip is very dear to the Lord. It says Lilastan. It's like I have a disciple, Lilastani. Lilastan means the place where the Lord's pastimes take place. And those places may appear to us, they sometimes appear, they sometimes disappear. That's to the naked eye. But if you have Premanjani Charity Bhakti Vilochani and an eye smeared with the love of God, you can see even now the pastimes of Krishna taking place in Vrindavan, the pastimes of Mahaprabhu taking place in Navadvip. They're going on forever. So there's no question of moving to a safer city to have Harinam. This is the place to have Harinam, Navadvip. That's the king of all places to have Harinam. So Mahaprabhu, he became very sober. And he turned to Lord Nityananda and he said, go to the houses of all my devotees and tell them that after lunch they should gather here at my house with torches. Today we're going to chant and dance in every street of Navadvip and take the procession to the house of the Chankazi. We will knock down his door and we will burn down his house. And Nityananda kind of looked, really? And Mahaprabhu said, let anyone try to stop me, for I am time personified. Whoa. So with the backing of the Lord, the devotees were fully confident. Time was on their side. God was on their side. So Lord Nityananda personally went throughout Navadvip, knocking on doors and spreading this good news. And the people became ecstatic. And in every house you could see, it's described, the people making torches. Because in those days that was a source of light in the evening. So they knew how to do it. And it's described they made hundreds, they made thousands, they made tens of thousands. By the evening, they made millions of torches. Now remember, to think that the glories of chanting Hare Krishna or any type of exaggeration is an offense. So don't think, how did they do that in a small village, make millions of torches? One of the offenses, 10 offenses to the holy name, is to think that the glories of chanting Hare Krishna are exaggerated. So this is all factual. It's all recorded by devotees. And then they marched through the town. And I think it was Prabhupada who was the one who said that was the first civil disobedience movement. Now this was in the mid-1400s, so I'm sure there's historical records and it's pretty obvious that there were civil disobedience movements earlier than that. But I think what Prabhupada meant is this is the most important. The first of all, the most important civil disobedience movements. So when the residents of Navadvip gathered where Mahaprabhu was staying, the men, the women, the children. And Mahaprabhu began dividing them into different groups. And the Shastra says there were many millions of devotees. Again, this is Navadvip, you know, in the 1400s. We might, if you tell that to some scholar, what? But if Krishna wants something, like one time someone said, you know, how can God come to this world? And Prabhupada said, who can stop him? Soon it became very dark, but although it was dark, the Shastra describes, because there were so many torches, it was as bright as day. And then the kirtan began. Before the loud singing began, there was mridangas, there was kartals, there was bugles, and then gradually the singers began to sing and the dancers began to dance. And Mahaprabhu, he was Gaur Nataraj. Nataraj is a term sometimes used for Lord Shiva because he does the dance of destruction at the end of the creation. And that dance of destruction starts a big fire. And the fire consumes the creation. And then it starts all over again. So sometimes Shiva, he's called Nataraj. But actually, the term ultimately is given to Krishna, the best of dancers. Because in Vrindavan, he does the rasa dance. But really, Rupa Goswami says the best of dancers is Srimati Radharani. And she's Lord Krishna's dance teacher. So Gaur Nataraj, the king of dancers, began to dance. And he had Lord Nityananda on his right side. He had Gadadhar Pandit on his left side. And thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of people began gathering, and the kirtan party went through all the streets of Navadvip. And those who had not yet joined the kirtan party, they had stayed behind to protect the house, because like everywhere, there's thieves. So some people had stayed behind, but when the kirtan party passed their houses, they couldn't control themselves. And they left their houses, left the doors open, the windows open, and joined the kirtan party of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they brought to the Lord flowers and they brought various paraphernalia. And this was a unique opportunity, the acharyas say, for the many thieves and robbers and dacoits to begin robbing. So they just literally, because no one noticed them, everyone was so absorbed in the kirtan, they just ran towards the houses. But to get to the houses, it's described, they had to pass by the kirtan party. And why these thieves and rogues and dacoits and sinners and murderers and rapists and rascals, number ones, as they were passing by the kirtan party to go to the houses of the peoples to steal, they passed by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord by pure devotees. And that chanting entered into their hearts, and immediately they became pure devotees. And they gave up all intention of robbing the houses and began dancing and chanting in ecstasy, and tears flowed from their eyes just as well. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. This is the kind of Sankirtan party we want to develop on Oxford Street. That the devotees go down the street and come back, and then every one of the streets are pure devotee, and they come into the temple, but I don't see how millions of people would fit into the Soho Street temple. So this Ebayash Gukshu Tribhuvana, we hear the glories of the pure devotee, the glories of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, Ebayash Gukshu Tribhuvana. These glories are discussed. The word by word of mouth, it all goes on the higher planets. So hearing and seeing and knowing of this, the demigods took on disguises and they joined the kirtan party. Brahma came, Varuna, Surya, Yamaraj, Kubera, they were all there disguised. And another amazing thing was that all the great and famous rishis of the past manifest in their original forms, Agastya Muni, Narad Muni, Parvat Muni. All these personalities we read about in Bhagavatam, in Upanishads and Itihashas, the histories. There's just so many rishis, sages, yogis. They also came in their original forms. And they also began chanting in this way. The kirtan party grew and grew and grew. And at one point, in the height of ecstasy, as they're going to the streets of Nadu, on the way to the palace of Chankazi, everyone in the kirtan party manifested four arms. I heard Prabhupada say one time, hearing such glories of the holy names, who would not take up the chanting of Hare Krishna? Prabhupada was speaking at that time how when you chant, the karmic reactions in your heart are destroyed, material desires are uprooted, and you get prema. He said, hearing this from an authoritative source, who in his right mind would not take up the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna? But no one knew they had four arms. And no one saw anyone else had four arms. Because everyone's eyes were fixed on Gaur Nataraj, whose arms were raised and tears were flowing from his eyes like torrents of rain as he was loudly inducing people to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. The way, this is why, the Sankirtan movement is the most effective way to spread the holy name. It's so purifying. All these dacoits and rascals, they just, on the way to the houses to steal, they passed by, going the opposite direction. They stopped. Immediate transformation. I was telling the devotees the other day, I was taking an elevator down from my room in a hotel here in London, and one man came into the elevator with me. He said, so this must be Hare Krishna. Yeah, this is Hare Krishna. He said, I'm a world traveler. You know, he said, Hare Krishna's everywhere. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, but especially here in London. He must have seen the kirtan parties, or you know, that you do on your Friday or Saturday night. He said, especially here in London. I thought you'd like to hear that. And then the elevator was going down to the bottom floor. And he said, we've got 20 seconds. Tell me, what is your philosophy, your culture, and your way of life, and what is the goal of your existence? So, you know, there's thousands of Upanishads and 18 Puranas, and there's Bhagavad Gita, and, you know. But I remembered Kaviraj Goswami's words in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that elegance is truth spoken concisely. So I said very quickly, you know, this Hare Krishna movement is part of an ancient spiritual tradition in India, where ultimately everyone understands that they're servants of God. And the original name for God is Krishna. And we can revive our dormant loving relationship with God and leave this world of samsara and go back to Godhead by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Boom! And we hit, and he said, five more seconds. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He said, that's a wonderful philosophy. Thank you so much. It's so nice to preach, isn't it? As Jesus said, it's better to give than it is to receive. So all this was going on as they approached the palace of Chankazi. And as they were getting there, people were remembering the atrocities of the Kazi. They couldn't forget. It said that an elephant and a woman never forget an offense that is committed towards them. So these devotees, they remembered how not just they were dealt with, but their friends, their relatives, the citizens, they were upset. So there was another mantra that was kind of coming up in between or underneath the Maha Mantra, and that was, kill the Kazi, kill the Kazi, kill the Kazi, kill the Kazi, kill, 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 kill the Kazi. And it combined with the Maha Mantra, this is loud. You know, millions of people chanting. You can imagine how loud it is. And the Chankazi was in his house, and he heard this tumultuous sound coming. He couldn't distinguish what it was. And he said, what is this? Is there a wedding procession going on? So he said to one of the guards, what is this huge uproar, this noise? go find out what's happening. So the guard went out of the Chankazi's room and he went outside the palace and he went a little further down the road and he saw millions of people chanting and dancing Hare Krishna and kill the Kazi. And he came back and he said, "My lord, they're chanting the Hindu names and they're also chanting your name." So a little smile. "Yes," he said, "yeah, they're saying kill the Kazi." So the Chankazi got his personal soldiers, because every king or dictator, often they have their special guards, like the Swiss guards. So he sent his topmost soldiers, the most loyal, the most faithful, to give their lives for the Kazi, very expert with weapons, very brave. And he sent those soldiers to stop the kirtan. But as they came forward, they became a little bit fearful, because they were like 20 against a million. So they didn't want to be noticed as the Chankazi's men, so they put their heads down to hide their beards, because the Muslims have that. They don't shave the lip, but they grow the beard. So they put their chin down, and they were swept up into the kirtan. And they also, by hearing the kirtan from the mouth of Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, Gadadhar, Srivas, etc., and the other devotees, they also, Cheto Dharpana Marjana. These pastimes take place to give us faith. That if such persons who were so inimical towards God can become to the point of ecstatic love of God, surely you and I, upon chanting, can achieve some exalted stage in Krishna consciousness. And they began exhibiting the 8 ecstatic symptoms of love of God. And they were carried like a tsunami. These soldiers were carried by the kirtan party to the front of the palace of the Chankazi. So they, when they arrived, the Kazi could see them and he, "Come, what is this? You're my soldiers. Come up, tell me what's going on." So they came upstairs and they said, he said, "What is this?" And they said, this is the kirtan party of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And the Chankazi said, "Who is this person who's leading a rebellion in my kingdom? What kind of rascal is he? Tell me." So then the soldiers, who were previously very rough characters but now saintly persons, they stepped forward, and one soldier said, "You know, this is one of the right-hand man of the Chankazi, his most loyal dacoit." He came up to the Chankazi, he said, "My dear Chankazi, let my mind, which is like a honeybee, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has now appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach the ancient system of devotional service to himself. The system had almost been lost to the influence of time." This is a verse written by a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he repeated it. The Kazi said, "What type of nonsense are you saying?" Another soldier stepped forward. Tears were flowing down his face like torrents of rain. He said, "My dear Chankazi, on his tongue he worships the names of Hari. Oh, how wonderful! From his eyes shower hundreds of tears. All the hairs of his body incessantly stand erect out of ecstasy, and he shines with perspiration. In this way, the people learn of the eternal service which forever follows in the footsteps of the milkmaids of Braja from Gorhari, who is the donor of the most exalted and nectarian process of devotional service." The Chankazi is like, it's like when Prahlad was speaking to his father. "What have you learned in school today?" "Well, I've learned Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm his devotee, and you should also become his devotee." And so the Chankazi, these are his personally chosen men, and they're speaking with in such loving sentiments about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then the kirtan became tumultuous. The whole palace was shaking. Now, I've never been in a building where, due to the kirtan, the house is shaking. You can just imagine how many people were there. How enthusiastic. The walls. So the Chankazi became fearful and he fled to a secret part of the house, and by this time, the devotees outside were tearing down the gates to his palace. They were destroying his garden. And Mahaprabhu took one of those guards and he said, why doesn't the Chankazi come to receive me? I've come here as a gentleman to his house. Bring him here. Actually, he has nothing to fear. So that servant relayed those words to the Chankazi, who was somewhat appeased and came out to meet Mahaprabhu. And then the Chankazi said, can we go to a secluded place, a private place, and talk? And Mahaprabhu said in front of his followers, he said, nothing is private. We can talk amongst my associates. I thought that was nice. Nothing's private. These are my followers. I'm educating them. I'm teaching them everything about Krishna consciousness. Nothing is private. I will speak to you here. So as you know, Mahaprabhu preached to the Kazi in such a way that his heart was completely melted. And then, as you know, the Kazi said something that gives great pleasure to Nrisimha Bhaktas. He said to Mahaprabhu and all the devotees, let me tell you one secret. That day that I broke all the mridangas on the street and at the house of Srivas Thakur, I came back and went to sleep, and this fearful being, half man, half lion, jumped on my chest. It wasn't a dream, it was a vision, and he began to roar ferociously. He said, you broke the mridangas and you hurt my devotees, so today I will destroy you and your entire race. Then with his claws, he began to tear at my chest. And he stopped and said, if ever again you disturb my Harinam Sankirtan movement, I will be back to finish you off. So at that moment, it's described, the Chankazi looked very deep into the eyes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A complete transformation came over him, and tears of love began to flow from his eyes by the mercy of Gauranga. So Shastra says that because he was so fallen and so offensive, it took the combined mercy of Lord Nrisimhadeva and Lord Chaitanya to deliver him. I love that part. Because he was so fallen, you know, usually Mahaprabhu is enough, but in this case, it took a combination of Mahaprabhu and Nrisimhadeva to destroy him. And he made a proclamation. He said at this point that I will not disturb him, neither will any of my Muslim people. And he took an emblem of his rule, just like I think, you know, like in England you have the coat of arms for different families. So for the Kazi and his family, there was an emblem shaped like this, and has. And when I first saw those at the beginning of the movement, because we used to kind of make those and take those on Sankirtan, I wonder what that was. I thought, oh, that's some Hindu. It's not, it's a Muslim sign. It's an Islamic sign of governance. And he gave that pole and that emblem, steel, iron emblem, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, you take this wherever you go on your Sankirtan party. Seeing that, the people, the Muslims will know you have my authority to chant. I always wondered where it was, because I thought maybe it was preserved in some museum or some devotee's house. And sure enough, last year when I went to visit one of my Goswami friends in Vrindavan, Anup Goswami, who's in that Nityananda Vamsa, that family that comes down from Birbhadra, the son of Nityananda Prabhu, there's a seminal line of the generations of devotees, so he's a direct descendant of Nityananda, and we met one time on the Purikama Marg on Vrindavan. He was out in some simple clothes. He's a Goswami, but he was out, and he was on the street with his uttari like this, and he was begging, please give some lakshmi for my Nitai. Please give some lakshmi for my Nitai. Please give something for Nitai. I didn't know he was a Goswami. He looked like a beggar. His residence is just off to the side. There's beautiful deities that were installed by Janabhamata when she finally came to Vrindavan. And it's called Nityananda Vat or Sringara Vat. It's where Krishna would sometimes decorate Radharani with jewels under a beautiful banyan tree. It's the first place that Lord Nityananda visited when he came to Vrindavan, he sat under that banyan tree, and part of that banyan tree is still there. So you know we sometimes go there for our festivals. So he's in charge, because Nitai went there, that particular sampradaya is in charge there, so Goswami is there, and he takes charge of that. But I didn't know, and it's in disrepair. So he pointed, you know, help my Nitai. I thought he was just talking about a little hole in the wall or something. And so I gave him 5 rupees or something. The next day I went to a prestigious meeting of all, you know, of something important was happening in Vrindavan, and all the Goswamis were there, and their wives, and the mayor, everybody. And there was Goswami, the same person, sitting in one of the 10 exalted seats. I looked at him, and he went, he pulled out of his pocket the 5 rupees. I felt so embarrassed. So the next day I went, and I went into where I thought would be his house, and sure enough, I knocked and I was invited in. There he was. And I said, Goswami, I'm so sorry. I didn't recognize who you were. And I gave him a significant donation. And we started talking, and he said, you're Prabhupada. He's done Nitai's work. He said, you're Guru Maharaj. Previously, in the Gaudiya Math, they worshipped Gorgadadhar, but your Guru Maharaj, he started the worship of Gaur Nitai. And I've heard that Nitai is all over the world now in your temples being nicely worshipped, and his mission is going on. He said, your Guru Maharaj, he is spreading the mission of Nitai all over the world. So you come here every day and you chant with me. So I said, well, pretty busy. He said, listen, I want to show you something. He pulled out of this drawer and he took out this ancient-looking Jaffa beads. He said, these are the original beads of Srila Jiva Goswami. Janava Mata brought them to Vrindavan. They were entrusted to her care. And my ancestors, you know, it's a long story, but he eventually got possession of those beads, as well as some of the jewels that Lord Nityananda wore when he went on Sankirtan. He kept them in a safe in Delhi. So a few days later, he called me back. He had those jewels, and he had those beads. He took the beads. He said, you're the son of Prabhupada. Chant on these beads. I'm like, chanting on those beads. And Varun knows very well because he saw them before me. He met Goswami Maharaj well before I did. So like this, we were fortunate to have that opportunity to have the darshan of something connected to the Sankirtan movement. So, it took a lot of mercy to deliver the Kazi, the combined mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nrisingadev. And interestingly enough, Srila Prabhupada, who is spreading the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just like he ordered Nitai to go out and chant Hare Krishna, he also included the worship of Lord Nrisingadev in our Sankirtan mission. One time, there was a incident at the temple in Los Angeles. Some dacoits came and threw a pipe bomb into the temple, and it exploded, and Srila Prabhupada was present at that time. He heard the explosion. So no one was really hurt, but Prabhupada came downstairs, and that was the first time he said, instead of Bhagavatam class today, I'm going to teach you the prayers of Lord Nrisingadev. And you can hear that tape, it was recorded. He goes, Namaste, Narasingaya, Palad. And he explained at that time that chanting of the Nrisingadev prayers is to protect the spiritual master and foremost the international society of Krishna consciousness. So, from great difficulty came a great victory, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan. As we know, it was firmly established. It was endorsed by the government, the Muslim government. It was okay to chant. They had the authorization. I was thinking of this. This is why I'm speaking, because I'm thinking, here's your prime minister opening up his address, Hare Krishna, and glorifying Srila Prabhupada. You know, that the government, which had, you know, was going to keep me and Tribhuvanath and all the devotees overnight in jail, now, you know, he's glorifying our efforts to spread this wonderful philosophy and the chanting of Hare Krishna and blessing us in so many ways. So I thought, this history repeats itself. So just as it happened during the times of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was great opposition, but it couldn't have turned out better, the government, the approval, devotees. And from there, the Sankirtan movement spread all over India. It came to the West, and there was opposition there. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, declare it boldly, Arjuna, my devotee never perishes. And one who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. So again, history is repeating itself, and today we witness that, but it's getting even bigger. That was a decree that allowed devotees to chant in Bengal. Now the government's allowing us to perform openly activities all over this United Kingdom and various parts of the world. So it can only get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you have to have that faith. It can only get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. We may not live to see that, but we've lived long enough to see how it's certainly possible, and the potency is there. And actually, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had that faith 500 years ago. He composed another beautiful prayer, and I'll finish with this because it's getting late. He said, from the time that the name of Hari became manifest on earth, Vaishnav folk were seen everywhere, adorned with faultless tilak and neck beads, and equipped with the Maha Mantra. In the midst of the age of Kali, they purified the atmosphere, chanting Hari Hari. So indeed, it came to pass. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki, the UK Yatra ki, Bhaktivedanta Manor ki, Gaur Bhaktivinda ki, Gaur Premanandi.